one thing for him, you've got to get a better position to make sure you don't miss corner kicks. Robbie Keane had a shot on goal, and that was not a big deflection, but from where I was, I could see it. But from where Lee was, he didn't detect it.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again, and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm affiliated with Somerset FA. And my colleague, my mentor, my coach, my refereeing hero, as I've said many, many, many times, who is many, many miles away from me on the other side of the world in Dubai, is the technical manager referees at the UAE FA, Mr. Richard Mellon. How lovely to see you, and Happy New Year, Rich.
Thanks, Dar. Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. Hope it's prosperous and a healthy one for all of us.
So, to give you a sense of time and day, my game has been cancelled today. It's the 8th of January. The weather has been appalling. Waterlogged pitch meant that I didn't get a game. And it is now currently 7:22 in the evening. Rich, you've just come in from a football tournament where you've been working. It's fairly late for you. Tell us about the tournament very quickly.
Over here in Dubai at the moment, there is the Expo 2020 event going on, which has been going on since beginning of October and finishes in March. And Expo is a sample of life from around the world. But on this occasion today, the UAE FA were involved in organising a seven-a-side tournament over there. And the seven-a-side tournament, it was agreed to hold it today. And four captains were selected to invite players from around the world, around the world, I think that's the best description, to come in play in the tournament. And I have to say, I was in awe of some of the talent that I watched. I mean, don't get me wrong, Darren, I'm lucky and privileged to have been a Football League match official, but I'm still a football fan. Like everybody, I'm a football fan. Mm. I've never gone and looked for photographs with players when I've done
games. Until today.
That's not the thing you do. That's not professional.
No.
But today, I met one of my footballing heroes. My heroes are in the UK as well, don't get me wrong. But this guy was an international. At his peak, I thought he was brilliant. And that was Luis Figo.
Yeah.
He played in the competition. He played for Salgado's team, the Real Madrid player. And Salgado, he's a tough player. He's not a big player, but he's a tough player. Doesn't get knocked off the ball easy in his time. And I had a huge respect for him watching him play for Madrid. But Luis Figo was the player that caught my eye at the time in his prime, playing for Portugal, playing for Madrid and that. And today, Luis Figo was playing in the seven-a-side tournament. Nice size pitch, not a small pitch, but a nice size pitch for sevens. And I just took the opportunity to go and have a photograph with Luis Figo. I went, walked up to him, put his hand out. "Hello, sir," he said. And he could see my UAE FA badge, et cetera, et cetera. So he had respect for what I was obviously there to do. But I was literally, I'm thinking, oh, my word. This is somebody I've admired from such a distance. And here was my opportunity. It doesn't come very often in life. And I took that opportunity today.
You've got to
have a photograph with Luis Figo. And he was wearing an all-white kit, ironically. Now, when you think about his career, mm-hmm. he would have worn an all-white kit for Madrid many,
yeah,
many times.
Yeah, of course.
So there I was, stood beside Luis Figo, big smile, and, mate, I'm as proud as punch.
Mate, you need to WhatsApp that photo over. I need to see that photo.
Yeah.
Excellent.
There's lots of other photos, players that were there. Although he didn't play, Ian Rush was there today, and Rushy was watching the games. Robbie Keane was there, still got the touch, still got a mean bit about his game, which makes him competitive. Smashing chat. We had 10 minutes chatting. Who else was there? Patrice Evra. I learned quite a little bit from Patrice Evra because he met a young footballer who come up to him and asked me, he said, "Could I have my photograph taken with Patrice Evra?" I said, "Of course you can, I'll ask him." So I asked Patrice, and this little lad, whilst Patrice was talking to other people, he said, "He is my favourite all-time left-back ever." And I said, "You need to tell him that, and we'll have the photograph with you." Okay, and he told him that. And then Patrice Evra took time out to have 5 minutes to this lad, giving him tips on about how to be a good player and what to do and how to do body shape,
brilliant,
first touch, all that. absolutely wonderful that the fact that they gave them times. Luis Sahar was there. I'm just trying to think of other players. There was about 10 pros that would be recognised around the world that actually played. Bakary Sanya, he was the captain of one team. Samir Nasri was a captain of another team.
Yeah,
I mean, some good pros, and they've still got that competitive edge that made them the elite footballers that they were. Mm. Absolutely wonderful tournament, and I coordinated it from the recording of the results, the tables of you know, how they got through the table, who played who in the semi-finals, and everything else. So I was pitch side. I was not ball boy, but I gave out the replacement ball when it, you know, might have gone adrift somewhere.
Wonderful.
So I've waffled on too much. So
and your compatriot out there in Dubai, Lee Prober, he was in the middle. How did he get on? What was his game like?
Yeah, he done all right.
Quick assessment on his game there, Rich.
Yeah, I did have a look, and he still got the position in the movement. The movement isn't as mobile as what it used to be. He's going to be seized up for the next couple of days while he recovers. But he done two games, and they wanted him to do the final, so he done the final. You know, he still got it. You don't lose those good habits that we've learned over the years. If I've got one thing for him, you've got to get a better position to make sure you don't miss corner kicks. Robbie Keane had a shot on goal, and it was not a big deflection, but from where I was, I could see it. But from where Lee was, he didn't detect it. So, you know, I had to do a debrief and say, well, okay. On his evaluation, there's one minor error.
Yeah, brilliant. Development point. That was it. That's what you get on those. Observer reports, isn't it? Which is something we're going to look into in just a moment, because I've had another observation. This is for my role as an assistant referee on a game on the 2nd of January. So we'll start off, Rich, with that one. So are we okay to go with that? And I'll read you the report.
Yeah,
I'll go through it.
Well, I want to ask you a question, because I know something that's in that report.
Ah, okay.
And I want you to open up about this and tell us, what's this? You definitely had a game of two halves.
Ah, right, okay.
The observer, as they call them in the UK, has made that comment. That is not a comment I would expect to read.
Ah, okay, that's interesting.
How can you have two halves?
That's
a cliche, isn't it?
It is a bit of a cliche, but it wasn't a game of two halves in a negative way. Well, I hope it wasn't, no. Basically, what happened, the teams, I'll just very quickly mention, were Bridgewater United against... Who the hell was it? I can't remember now. Oh, Bridport. Okay, so... two teams in the Toolstation Western League here in the southwest of England. And the first part of the game, everything took part in the Bridport half of the game. So I didn't have a lot to do. And then
it was
the second,
5-0 was
that was
it,
yeah. And in the second half, everything happened my end. So that's probably what he means by a game of two halves.
Right.
So we are allowed to mention the assessor. I asked him earlier on. Somebody that we know very well, known Kev Moore, he's called. He and I used to, we were coming up through the system as level sixes and fives sort of 10 years ago, doing our fitness tests and stuff together. And I think Kev got on to be a level four in the period of time that I was out of the game for a short while. Then I think he got an injury.
Never recovered sufficiently to be able to push himself through the fitness test, and so he took the decision to step down from refereeing, and I was guilty of recruiting him, if that's the right description. I hope Kevin understands what I say. That
Kev, he means that in the best
always,
possible way.
He always blames me. For getting him into observing. So I'll take the guilty plea and plead guilty in that. But yeah, Kev has stepped up to the. The challenge of being an assessor, and it's not everybody's cup of tea in the roles of football. But you know, some of us we have a little bit of apprehension about it when we get the invite, and I'm no different to anybody else when I got the invite 20 years ago. But you develop, and so long as you're willing to commit to meetings and learning and online stuff and the new trends, then you know you've got every chance of progressing. as an observer, and I did call it assessor just now because that's the word we still use out here in the UAE, and it's no different around the world. Yeah. Observing isn't the easiest job. You need to understand the trends, the challenges that the referee is facing, and try to live that in the shadow of the referee throughout that game. When you're out there refereeing, and equally when you're watching an assistant do the duties, the role, etc. Try to put yourself in that position as an observer. It's not about the observer saying, "Oh, this is how I did it in my day." That's the wrong approach. And if an observer is doing that, then my recommendation is stop doing it and give them best practice, not what you did when you did it. Read up a little bit and speak with your peers and your mentors.
Okay, so
come into the new world.
So let's crack on with this observation then, just to let you know the conditions were very touch and go as to whether or not the game was going to go ahead. It did go ahead, luckily, and it was very heavy underfoot because we had a lot of rain, a lot of bad weather. So there was decisions that had to be made. Pitch inspections were done earlier on in the day, and the game did go ahead. So here we go. Section one, offside performance criteria skill. Let's have a look. Comments. You definitely had a game of two halves, as we've just talked about, with your involvement in decisions being very limited due to the majority of the first half of the game being conducted in the away half of the field of play. You demonstrated a really good level of concentration, remaining focused continually, which paid dividends in the 13th minute, where you deployed a wait-and-see tactic when A9 was offside following a through ball which ended up in the hands of H1. Was pleased the referee acknowledged your decision with you, recognising this, as this added confidence and that when you had cause to signal offsides against H14 in the 78th, H18th in the 90th, you were both credible and accurate with those decisions. And for that was above expected.
I'm pleased to hear that Kev has recognised the fact that you remained focused, although you weren't as active as what the other assistant was. And that's an important thing for being an assistant referee. Don't lose your focus. Don't switch off. Stand in your position and scan from the halfway line. Look at the phases of play. Look at players off the ball, at what they're doing and what they're preparing for the next phase. If the ball's on the right hand side and the referee's, working with that part of the game, then don't watch what he's doing necessarily at that time. Scan across into the penalty area for where the ball's going to go for the next phase and see how the players are lining up and what they might be doing, and see if there's anything that you need to observe. So it's all about that level of concentration and professionalism, and Kevin's recognised that.
Equally, it's the same in not being distracted by, let's say, other members of the public behind you or other people on or around where you're standing, particularly if you're in a situation where you're not busy, like I wasn't.
You will get people that will just, I suppose you could call it, that like to socialise or like to try and distract you from your role. And if you start talking to people, and that includes physios, substitutes warming up, spectators, photographers, all sorts of people, do not get distracted from what your purpose is there being. So, keep your focus, keep your concentration, and do the job that you're there to do. Don't be rude.
Yeah.
And I mean, don't be rude by ignoring people. Just say, "I'm sorry, I can't speak at the moment." Etc. Because if someone asks you, how long to go, Lino, you got to do it at the right time.
Yeah.
Look away from the game and look at your watch, and you give them, 20 minutes to go, or we play 25 minutes, whatever. So, it's all about communication for referees, but communication at the right time, but retain focus and professionalism.
Okay, next one. Demonstrates understanding of the laws of the game, particularly active and passive situations. I've got expected. Uses time to ensure advice is accurate. That was expected. Next section is support to the referee. Always assesses the referee's position and view of events using eye contact and time before offering advice. The comments were: it was pleasing to note that the level of professionalism that you conducted yourself with throughout the day and the game itself. This reflects in a really positive performance of an assistant that is more than competent in their abilities at this level. You demonstrated a good recognition of when to get involved on the game, adopting a good wait and see, as noted in section 1.1. You also judge your involvement based on the position of the referee, especially evident when judging whether the ball had left the field of play for a throw-in in the attacking third of the field of play, with you being in a more credible position than the referee was to correctly advise that the ball had not left. While we discussed the off-the-ball incident in the first half that didn't involve you, as you were the active AR at the time the incident occurred, I would ask you to consider using a supporting flag to get the referee's attention, should you note that your colleague is trying to get his attention unsuccessfully. This has the potential to enhance the teamwork, especially if the referee does not have the use of buzzer flags, which we didn't have on that day. It would also be advisable to note the direction that your colleague is flagging so that you are both signalling in the right direction.
Yeah, a nice point there, because not every set of match officials has the buzzer flags. So you're back to the traditional methods. I can't even say traditional at the moment. But you're back to traditional methods of awareness and communication. And yeah, cross flagging. If the referee hasn't picked up the assistant referee, you've got to be careful when you do it. Don't just do it nilly willy. That ain't the right way to approach it. But as it sounds like,
nilly willy. Don't you mean willy nilly?
Nilly willy or willy nilly? No, you know, it's a late in the day here. It's 11:30 at night. You know, I've had a long day. I've had a big tournament and I've had one beer tonight, which
Brilliant.
Is
excellent.
Only the second time I've had a beer in 6 months out here. So
nilly willy, I love it.
It's a nice challenge.
Anyway, I got on that one 7.5 above expected.
Let me ask a question, Dad, about that other section that you talked about as regards expected. That was something about laws of the game. Am I right in saying that?
Demonstrates understanding of the laws of the game, particularly active and passive situations.
Okay. Active and passive situations. We're talking about offside there. Mm-hmm. You can't go out there as an assistant referee and expect to be above standard every game, because sometimes there is not enough action happening, and that's already been discussed in the report as regards there was not a lot of active action for you to have to deal with in the first 45.
Yeah.
The second 45 could have been different, of course, but his recognition that, you know, you've done what was expected, you shouldn't be disappointed that comment, because you're there to do what's expected. Mm. You know, don't overinflate your expectations. And say, well, I gave two offsides in the second half. That must be above average. No, they may have been standard expected. Mm. If it's easy to identify an offside, then you'll get expected. If they're difficult offside decisions, crossing over, tight decision making, that's when an observer will identify your skill sets and your focus. And that's when you'll get above standard because of the difficulty involved.
Next one, demonstrates understanding of the laws of the game by providing correct advice. There was no comments, there was expected. The next one, has the confidence to offer advice when it is needed. Required, that was it. Again, that was expected. What's the next one? Section 3, generic skills. Clear signals as shown in the laws of the game and held for an appropriate length of time. Comments? We discussed
expected.
So I got expected.
Yeah.
Comments, we discussed your flagging throughout the game, which was continually of the expected level. However, it was noted that when play was in the area that you were, you would signal attacking throw-ins whilst on the move, with notable examples occurring 2nd, 12th and 56th minute. As noted, this only occurs when the quick break occurs and the ball leaves the field of play right by your position at the time for an attacking throw-in, with you flagging as you try to move to restart your position. To avoid this, simply stop, signal the throw-in, lower the flag, and then move to your next position. So basically what he pointed out after the game, or on our little conflab after the game, was whilst you're running down, the ball's gone out, don't wave the flag for a throw-in whilst you're running. Stop, then throw it, and then raise your flag.
Yeah, that is the technical side of it. Assistant referees work, and you know that it's not easy every time, but there are, you know, moments, and he's described that when, you know, you're flagging on the move, and we do have challenges when we need to flag on the move, but it's finding the right time to be composed and deliver the right signal to ensure everything is quite clear.
Next one, correctly positioned to make accurate judgments, able to sprint and retain a position to judge with accuracy, providing confidence in the advice offered. I got above expected and the comments here. Given the conditions of the field of play, and as I mentioned earlier on, it was very heavy underfoot, very sloppy. And the touch lines that you were faced with during the game, it was very pleasing to note that you made every effort to ensure that you remained credible throughout the game to make accurate judgments for the infringements throughout the game. Especially pleasing to note the sprints that you put in to keep level with play during the second half in the passages of play that led to two home goals in the 53rd and 65th minute. Well done. Well, that was quite nice.
Little bit of technical advice there as regards you're working hard in difficult conditions underfoot. The only thing I would say to anybody when you're in those sort of in the trench, as you might want to call it, because there's been a lot of assistant referees already working in that area that you're working in on today's game, if you're repeatedly running in the same area that previous assistant referees are in, you're going to wear the pitch, you're going to chop it up. So see if you can step back and work on that little bit of grass that maybe is still available, and give yourself an opportunity to move more comfortably rather than have to trudge through that heavy mud that might be there in places. If it is not easy to do that, then maybe at certain times, at the right time, that's the important part, get onto the field of play by a yard. Don't run on the line is my advice. Don't run on the line and stay out of the trench if you can. Running on the line, you're going to chop up the white line and make it difficult. If you do that from the start of the game, you'll make it very difficult by half-time, middle of the second half. Is the ball out of play or is it not? And you've obliterated the white line.
So what I did, because of the conditions, I was crabbing in the trenches, but when I needed to sprint, I stepped back and then I ran down the little bit of grass that you've just talked about.
Well done. Yeah.
Right, next one, let's have a look. Takes up square on the position facing the field of play, keeping level with the second Rianos defender when necessary, with effective sideways movement along the touchline and displays positive body language. Above expected, and the comments are, as noted in section 1.1, with you having limited involvement in discussions, in decisions during the first half of the game, you continually remained focused on the job that you were doing, adopting a square-on position facing the field of play when non-active. Notable during the injury to A1, that was in the 43rd minute, that was the keeper that was injured that I was telling you about before we started to record, where you were positioned on the halfway line, scanning the field of play to ensure no issues arose during the stoppage, not getting drawn into conversation with supporters that were congregated behind you. As we discussed in the debrief, I commend you for the effort that you put into remaining level with the second rearmost defender throughout the game, especially where the several non-offsides in the second half in the 51st, 63rd and 77th minute.
Yeah, during the stoppages in the game and the referee might be dealing with an injury away from your position in the other half, that's exactly the situation where you need to keep your focus and concentration on the players that remain on the field of play, not under assessment of injury. So, you know, well done. That's, you know, I expect that and I would tick that as expected and nothing less. If there was something that you dealt with as regards, let's say, you saw two players whilst the game was stopped engaging in aggressively, then maybe you should intervene. Or if they're too far away and you can see there's a standoff between them face to face, before the restart, bring it to the attention of the referee so the referee can calm the situation. Don't restart the game with players in an unhappy manner because they may take retribution in their next challenge. All sorts of things to consider in those situations, but keep watching the players.
Next section, display self-control, calm but assertive body language and signalling, responds effectively to changes in the game's tempo and or emotional environment. For that, expected no comments. So the marks breakdown, it said section 1, offside 21.5, section 2, support to the referee 21.5, section 3, generic skills 29, so a total of 72.
Yeah, and for me, that is a well-deserved mark, although it sounds a little bit, a little bit tough, let's look at it from an assistant's point of view. As assessors, we're giving tough love. Mm. We've been in your position. We know the trials and the tribulations that you're going through and the challenges and everything. And to come off in this day and age with a mark of 72, you can be well satisfied. Well done. How can you get a bigger mark than that? That all comes down to leveling involvement. Yeah. Don't try to be busy. Don't try to be busy, but know when to assist the referee and assist in the right manner with the correct approach and attitude. Don't try to be that linesman that appears to be flagging for everything, too happy, not concentrating, and the body language is quite negative and doesn't look as though he wants to be there. So lots of things to consider, lots of things. And we'll revisit these things time and time again, Darren.
Absolutely. And just a big thanks to Kev once again. Good to see you again, Kev. Been a few years. And thank you very much for allowing us to discuss this on the podcast. So, Rich, pretty much come to the end of our time on this one. It's the Referees World podcast. You can find us online at refereesworld.co.uk. Just do a search in your podcast provider for Referees World podcast and you'll find us and we'll pop up somewhere. And then we'll catch up with you again sometime. Also, don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you've got any questions, you've got anything that you want to throw at Rich in terms of improvement and skills and stuff like that, just get in touch through the website at refereesworld.co.uk.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin.